Okay, great. I will call the meeting of the Retirement Committee to order. It's Tuesday, January 27th, here in Conference Room C2. Can I do a roll call, please?
Roll call, Director Wigand.
Here.
Director Mesqua.
I'm present.
Director Yeo. Director Nguyen. Director Green. Director Jung. Director Tran.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director Meeks.
Here.
Director Bilodeau. Jason Dedicus.
Here.
Kevin O'Toole.
Here.
Roy Herndon.
Here.
Bill Lieber. You do have a quorum of the committee.
Okay, great. And I'll just make a little announcement that Director Meeks is able to participate, but as far as
Mesqua.
Omezcua, I'm sorry. I messed that one up. Director Omezcua is at a different location than Leslie, but he can still participate just as far as votes go. We move to Director Tran. Is that correct, or Director Meeks, or both?
Tran, yes.
Okay, perfect. Director Tran. Okay.
Thank you for that announcement. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Thank you for participating still, though. It's great. I will see, is there any items too late to be agendized?
There's that.
Okay. And now is the time for visitor participation. Seeing nobody online, but maybe one visitor here. No? All right. We'll move on to consent calendar item one, which is the minutes of the Retirement Committee meeting held on October 28th.
I'll move approval.
Okay. And do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Can I call the vote, please?
Sure. Roll call, Director Wigand.
Yes.
We now have Director Yeo.
Okay.
Yes.
Jason Dedicus.
Yes.
Kevin O'Toole.
Yes.
Roy Herndon.
Do I need to vote? I guess I
Actually, no, sorry.
vote.
You are good. That motion carries 4-0.
Does Director Tran get to vote if Director Omezcua is out? Does that fall for the
Yes, he can. Sorry.
Director Tran, were you at the meeting last
I
October?
was. I
Okay.
was.
You're allowed to vote yes on the minutes. So.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Our motion carries 5-0.
Perfect. All right. I will move to matters for consideration. This is item number two, the 401A money purchase retirement plan investment lineup and 457B deferred compensation plan red flag fund review.
Take it away, Scott.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Good afternoon, everybody. See, Natasha ordered a lot of food. You may have to eat more than once today because we've got a lot to go through, a lot to go through. All right. Before we dig into the funds, I would like to propose an event for one of the next two meetings. So we have the dates blocked, but nothing agendized yet. So you might remember, those of you who are on the committee that made the selection of Invesco Stable Value, that we heard a presentation from Andy Apostel at that point. When Invesco won the business, they agreed to make a presentation annually to the committee about the management of that fund and the forecast for the future. And I've spoken with Andy's office. He would be available either one of the February or March dates that's scheduled for Retirement Committee. So I wanted to put that out to the committee before we dug into the funds to see if you'd like him to present to the committee. We can make it as short or as long as you want his, but he would actually come out from Arizona to do that.
See value in it. Do you guys? Yeah,
I agree.
Is there a better time of the two dates for us to discuss
Seem to be
this?
okay with it. I don't know if there's anything in your mind or other things you want to cover in February or March, but
There was nothing.
okay. I just think it's however you want
Yeah,
to
maybe of the two meetings, do we know which one might be a lighter meeting that we can add his discussion to?
My knowledge, there's nothing scheduled for either at the moment. So,
So probably February's best
yeah.
bet.
Yeah, I would probably just
Yeah.
say, do it while we know that it's open. So,
Yeah, I think that's valuable.
okay.
And then if there's anything else we have to add to that, then
Yep.
we'll see
Yep.
to that.
And we can make that as shorter as long as you want. So,
Okay.
any thoughts about how long you want the presentation to be? 20 minutes, something like that, 25, 30?
Yeah, I guess just kind of, I guess we'll know as we get more agenda items how
Okay.
heavy our meeting is. But
Okay.
as much as it's valuable, we don't have to have him go forever if he doesn't need to. But if he feels there's value to going for a while, then
Yeah.
I think it's fair for us to all hear the important stuff.
Yeah, remembering from the presentation, he was good, really good about thinking on his feet and customizing what we wanted. So I think
Perfect.
he could adapt to your needs. So. All right, thanks everybody for that. So we can look forward to that in a month. So let's dig into meeting minutes from October of last year that you just approved. So coming into this meeting, much quieter situation. The agenda was a red flag in the 457 plan on AB large cap growth. That's been red flagged for a year now. So that was the third review. Today will be the fourth review. We will have to, as a committee, aligning with our investment policy statement, make a decision about AB large cap growth and decide if we're going to take that off red flag or take it out of the plan, the 401A plan money purchase, to not have any red flags coming into this meeting. Starting off that meeting with the meeting minutes as we did today, and then on to a market and economic review. We'll cover a little bit of that again today. And as far as changes to the plans, none were made, so no fund additions. We won't get away that easily today. In the 457 plan, we put a red flag on the T. Rowe Price Health Sciences, so we'll have to cover that in detail. You might remember on item B, we spent a lot of time reviewing the various benchmarks for mid-cap growth, blend, and value. And after that conclusion, we felt like we definitely had the correct benchmark. The S&P mid-cap 400 is the correct benchmark to measure the principal mid-cap S&P 400. So we've documented that. And then on to page four, the touchstone mid-cap went on to red flag. We kept AB large cap growth, as I've already referenced, on red flag. We added a new red flag to T. Rowe Price all cap opportunities on item there E. It's in both plans, so you're going to see it again in just a second, but this is in the 457 plan. On to the 401A, same situation, same index fund, same benchmark we were comfortable with. And then we did also put a red flag on the T. Rowe Price all cap opportunities. So we get to review our first time on that. And then all other items meeting or exceeding the benchmark, the 457 plan, which is a voluntary savings plan, sitting at about $48 million, average account balance of $162,000 for each participant. Questions or comments on the minutes? All right, let's talk a little bit about 2025. All told, a pretty good year. Starting with the three major benchmarks, the Dow was up about 15%, the NASDAQ, which is technology-heavy benchmark, up 21%. The S&P, including dividends, up 17.8%. So you definitely, within the U.S., saw large outperforming mid and small. Mid-caps were up about 10% for the year. Small caps were up about 12, most of which happened after August of last year. Coming into the late summer, small caps were even for the year and then did pretty well. In fact, they've started off the year as the hottest category, maybe other than metals in the U.S. Down towards the bottom, to some people's surprise, the best performing equity categories were overseas. A weak dollar, the dollar lost 9% of its value last year. So that was good for overseas investments that are traded in other currencies. So when you bring it back to the U.S., that increases your returns. A strong dollar would do the opposite. So the EAFB is Europe, Africa, and the Far East up 32%. The emerging markets up 34%. So China, India, Brazil, Mexico, the pretty big returns last year.
It says U.S. dollar. What is that referring to?
That's quoted in U.S. dollars. If you put it in local currency, that takes out the dollar exchange rate. So you probably took about 9% of those gains out. So if you lived in, let's say, Europe and invested in Europe, you're probably up about 23%. If you live in the U.S. and invested in Europe in U.S. dollars, then you're up about 32% because the dollar weakened against the other currency. So against the euro, against the pound, against the Japanese yen. So emerging markets were actually the best performing category. Bonds had a nice year, certainly not as good as equities, but outperformed stable value and money markets pretty handily. We've been beating the drum on bonds for a couple of years as a better way to keep your money safe. It benefited from interest rates dropping, about a 7.3% gain on the bond index. And then down towards this third section, commodities up about 15.7%. That's a broad basket of commodities, including groceries. But as everybody probably knows, that the precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, have had huge moves last year, and that's continuing frantically here into 2026. So let me jump forward a little bit. As you look over here on the right, the different S&P 500 sectors, there's 11 sectors. The purple portion is telling you how they did for all of the year. And the orange is telling you how they did for the month of December. So it's a little bit of downturn in real estate and utilities for the month, but all categories up for the year. The weakest areas were consumer staples. So as grocery prices still expensive, you're not seeing much growth there. Real estate suffering because interest rates are still high. So corporate loans, residential loans have been weak. December was the worst year in or worst month in recorded history for real estate demand. So not a lot of residences being purchased. Many categories did well last year. Number one was communication services. That used to be a boring category with just Verizon and AT&T in it, but it now has Alphabet, or the parent company of Google, in there, which was the number one performer among the big cap tech last year. Number two was information technology. Microsoft and Apple largely took the year off last year, but NVIDIA, another big year. Industrials, these companies that are building the AI data centers, you know, the Eatons, the GE Aerospaces, the GE Vernovas, all loving all that's happening. Utilities are up because there's a lot of power demand, and that's going to become a bigger and bigger social and consumer issue as power prices go up to fund these AI or to power these data centers. Water and power, of course, being used a lot. And then financials had a good year, up about 15%, number five in terms of the return. So positive year across the S&P, saw 17 in aggregate, but you can see what the best performing categories are. Consumer discretionary, which is largely Tesla and Amazon, with a quiet year. Energy had kind of a quiet year as well. On the left-hand side, we kind of covered it on the index page, but you look at kind of these individual portions for the year. Growth and value, you definitely had better returns for growth, but value is pretty close. And then again, the biggest gains were from the international markets, and the smaller and riskier the market, the better it did. So developed markets is Europe, Japan, and Australia. Developed small caps or smaller companies in those areas. So up 32 and 32. Emerging markets up 34. And then frontier markets, the highest risk markets, like be Central America or parts of Africa, up 47% last year. So if I go into fixed income, as I mentioned, a good year for the overall category, up 7.3%. Treasuries, if you were in longer term treasuries, up 6.3. Corporates did better because they have higher yield with more risk, up 7.8. Municipal bonds with a decent year, 4.2% tax free. High yield bonds up 8.6. And then the biggest winner was emerging market debt. Those are corporate or government loans to emerging markets, which typically pay a higher rate of interest because they have a higher risk. All right, so that's a little feel for the markets. Questions for me about any of that? Let's look at the 401(a) money purchase plan, which is first on the agenda today. So I'm showing you here. Oh, we have a question from
Director
Director. Yeah. Go ahead, Director.
Hello, everybody. Please forgive me just announcing my presence. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. Appreciate that. So looking at these numbers here, these percentages are, in fact, the percentages of the total value of the money purchase plan that are held in each one of these investments. As a participant-directed plan, each one of your participants has the ability to control where their money goes, both in terms of their current balance and their future savings. So this is essentially where they voted with their feet. The domestic categories are in the boxes. So across the top is large, and then mid, and then small. Left to right, we have value. We have blend, which is a combination of growth and value. And on the far right is growth. So think of growth companies as those that take their profits, put it back in the business to increase their business size. And value companies are typically more mature companies that use their profits to reward their shareholders with dividends. In many categories, we have two choices, sometimes an active and a passive, sometimes two active, but giving participants a lot of variety in terms of approach, style, risk-adjusted returns, et cetera. The very popular category, of course, is the large cap blend, almost 19% of the plan. The S&P is 12% by itself. And then we have two active managers that partner with them. You'll look at those funds today when we get into looking at individual funds. On the left-hand side, two large value funds, J.P. Morgan's equity income manager retired about a year and a quarter ago. There's been some issues since her retirement. And then a reminder in red, the T. Rowe Price is your red flag here on this page. Just red flagged in the last meeting. So we have 2 to 4 quarters to see improvement from that particular fund. In the middle is generally where we have both active and index. On the left and right, with your growth and value, is where you have typically two active funds. Going away from domestic, on the left-hand side is your international stocks. So we have foreign large cap growth as Fidelity, large cap blend is MFS, and then a global, including the U.S., is American Funds New Perspective. To go back to the left there, you see global small mid-cap stock. For those of you who pay close attention, this is a brand new category for us, but not a brand new fund. This fund has been with your plan for 25 years, maybe 30 years, but it has now been recharacterized. Fidelity Low Price Stock had the same manager, Joel Tillinghouse, for its entire existence. He retired a few years ago. The new managers are finding better stocks overseas and are now 40% in international stocks. Morningstar has recategorized them. So you'll notice we lost a mid-cap value fund and we gained a global small mid-cap stock fund. So same manager, same approach, but a brand new benchmark. So we want to make note of that for the committee. To the right of that is emerging markets. And then to the right of that is a global commodity stock. Commodities, again, having a good year. Across the bottom are your specialty funds, technology, gold and special minerals, which was easily the number one performer last year. It's also become one of the top five biggest holdings in the plan. And the left-hand side, a quiet year for real estate, Cohen & Steers Realty. Good fund, a very quiet category. So we switch from equities into fixed income here. The Vanguard Federal Money Market, which is your treasury bill fund, that's 20% of the plan. You remember, we no longer have the Empower Gift or the old Prudential Guaranteed Income Fund is gone. We do now have the Invesco Stable Value, which comes in this category. Right now, your participants have two safe harbor options, the Vanguard or the Invesco. It's a big difference. There's 40 million in one and less than 100,000 in the other. Now, the yield is much better on money market. That could change, especially under a new potential Fed president. If interest rates go down, that's going to immediately impact the money market fund. As Andy will explain to you, less impact, at least a slower impact on the stable value. Into intermediate term, we have both a bond index and active manager. The active manager, American Funds Bond Fund of America, one of the biggest bond funds in the world, has been recategorized. They've gone away from being a pure high-grade fund to mixing in a little bit of high-yield or non-investment-grade paper. And so they've been recategorized there. We're making note of that, where it's grayed out where it came from and blue where it went. Questions for me? All right, so let's look at our asset diversification page. So we are listing these in order of highest risk to lowest risk. Left to right, you're noticing that you have the Morningstar style, the fund name, the symbol it trades under, the assets as of the 2nd of January of this year, the percentage of the overall plan it represents. Those are the same numbers you just saw in the style boxes. In bold, there is a 2 or 3-digit number, which tells you how many participants, current or former employees of the district, have money in that fund. And then if it's one of the 5 biggest, it gets a little green number next to it. As I mentioned, the gold fund is now the 3rd largest. The other 4 are on the 2nd page. I'll cover in just a moment. And then remember, we look at a couple of different numbers in terms of expenses for these funds. The expense ratio is a number set by the prospectus for that 5-letter share class that we're using. If there is any revenue sharing in that fund, it's refunded back to the participants. So that's your revenue share refund. So any participants, it's only those that own the fund get the refund. And the net expense ratio, what they're actually paying, is in the 3rd section of that fund category. To measure those apples to apples to the category average, look at the far right, which is a Morningstar calculation of each one of these Morningstar categories and what the average fund is charging versus what our fund is charging. It's a way to benchmark to make sure that we're being effective in terms of being competitive for cost. So on to page 2 here, the American Funds target date funds are listed here. So your 5 biggest holdings, the Vanguard is number 2, your Hartford Core Equity is number 5, Bond Fund of America is number 4, and the Money Market Fund, as I referenced, is the largest holding in the plan. $212 million. When I started, there was $40 million in this plan, so proud that we're 5 times bigger over that time frame. Outstanding loan balance is $1.1 million borrowed. There are 65 people, active employees with loans, 354 total participants, including former employees of the district. Questions about any of that? All right, we now have our decision sheet, and you're going to need it today. You guys are going to have to help me since Ami is on vacation in India this week. And so we'll go through and record all of our changes here today. Any questions before I get started on items for review? All right, so we start with the Fidelity Global Commodity Stock. So this was gray flagged in the last meeting, which means that that designation was not recorded in the minutes. Red flagging a fund is an option, taking it off gray flag as an option, or removing it from the plan are options. This is a 4-star rated fund. Reminder, Morningstar 1 through 5 in terms of stars, 5 being the best and 1 being the worst. That's typically performance-based. And there's a qualitative rating, which is better known as the medalist rating. Gold is best, just like the Olympics coming up next week, everybody. Winter Olympics always sneak up on me. I never know it's coming. So the medalist is the gold is best, then silver. This fund is silver. Then there's bronze. Neutral is the 4th best. And then negative, where Morningstar really has a poor opinion of the fund's management team. So the star rating is based on how they're doing. The qualitative rating is based on their process, their board, their fees, their investment strategy, et cetera. So this fund is outperforming the benchmark on the 5-year. But it's underperforming the benchmark on the 3-year. Now, a lot of the funds we'll look at today, the index and our fund has a lot of similar holdings, but this is the Wild Wild West. It's global, so anywhere in the world, any commodity category or stock category. So you're not going to see a lot of uniformity in terms of performance versus the benchmark. And this fund certainly speaks to that. You can see in 2022, it was up about 22% when the category was down. It was down the next year when the category was up. The following year, it was up when the category was down. And the reason it's on the gray flag list is how it did in 2025. Nobody in the fund's upset that made 28%, but the benchmark made 36%. So one easy action today is to red flag the fund, which will probably be my suggestion, but we'll go through the process inevitably to see if there's a different approach. We have a 6- and 12-month chart on the next page where you can see that same underperformance that 2025 gave you. And then if you look further, there are options here in green that we could consider today on the spot to replace this fund with. So I would say gray flag, that moment has passed. Keep it in the plan, that moment has passed. So I think either a red flag or replacement would be due today.
I'm good with the red flag recommendation. I would be as good.
All right, thank you. Any different opinions? All right, so on to our decision sheet. Item number 1 would be Delta Global Commodity Stock on to red flag. Ensuring that we will also have a busy April meeting. All right, so next one here is not flagged at all. It was actually flagged in years past and has made a nice recovery. But we did need to point this out to you because the 5-year number is not good based on its 2022 performance. Its recent performance has been excellent. There has been some discussion in these meetings that perhaps we have this and other international funds misbenchmarked. So our benchmark is the Morgan Stanley Capital Investments World Index. The World Index is largely a blend index. If you look at the World Index, it's all a bunch of American big cap tech stocks. So it's not as global as you might think. So we have considered in the past of perhaps re-benchmarking this fund because it really is a growth fund. That would be the yellow diamond there. I'm sorry, the orange diamond, pardon me. The blend benchmark from Morningstar is the yellow diamond. So if you look at the 3-year chart at the top, the fund is fine. It's right on the benchmark line. Morningstar loves it. 4 stars in gold. Manager team has been there 25 years. There's 8 separate managers who each manage 1/8 of the fund. And in the last 12 months, it's beat 85% of its peers. The last 3 years, 64%. The last 5 years, 24%. And over the last decade, they've beat 80% of their peers. So I think it's a good fund, but you're noticing that underperformance. Now, it didn't underperform the growth benchmark, but it did underperform the world index. And that's really based on the big losses they took in 2022, which is a down year for everybody. So we do have the option of red flagging this fund. We do have the option of replacing it. We can get into more detail as you wish, but my thought is that we're still in good hands here. They are beating most of their peers in that category. It's just categorized versus a different benchmark. So this is a 6 and 12 month. The 6 isn't as good unless you're comparing it to the growth benchmark where it's great. The 12 month is good. It's actually keeping up with all of the benchmarks and beating the growth benchmark easily. So I'll leave it to the committee, but I think we can just keep this one. It's just a matter of information. But if somebody wants to take issue with it, now is your chance. I know the committee sort of resisted rebenchmarking things. It's always interesting to kind of look at the alternatives, especially on the 5-year chart. Everyone kind of having the same problem. And the international markets valued it a lot better than growth. A lot of the European banks had a big year after being depressed for many years. So if you're a blend benchmark or a value benchmark, you definitely outperform the growth benchmark. So growth funds, which is all what these are, because it's a growth category, all struggled versus that blend benchmark. I would argue that American Funds New Perspective might be the best of the options offered. And then if you look at the short-term performance, American Funds that we own is the best of the batch. If you look at the 6-month, it's probably the second best of the batch. This one way out here takes an enormous amount of risk, but it is below that benchmark.
If I heard correctly, one of the issues that you kind of outlined with the current benchmark, which is the world benchmark, is that it includes a lot of US tech heavy. This is kind of a potentially a temporary benchmark issue based off of what we've seen in the markets in the last 12 to 18 months or so. So this has a potential to correct itself in time.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So since October, large cap tech has underperformed most of the market. So the movie could play in reverse, where it actually benefits us to be a fund that doesn't have huge concentrations in those. But there's so much passive investing in the market, so much money that goes into index funds that just buys the biggest of the big over and over again, that until there's a real break in some of those stocks, that trend can continue. But in terms of growth of the earnings and revenues of those companies, they've certainly stalled out in the last 6 months.
Just looking at their top holdings, they're all relatively similar, just different locations.
It's almost identical here.
Everyone's got Meta, Microsoft, Taiwan Semiconductor. Just a variation of what they have. One has Alphabet, one doesn't. And I think you just stay the course. It comes up, we're going to see it eventually.
Yeah. And American Funds does a great job of risk managing these things. I think that's important.
Cost to the shareholder or to the, is it on par with anything else?
Yeah, great point. So American Funds is charging a net 41 basis points, which is pretty attractive for an international fund. All of these are charging more, but some of them are refunding a portion of that. But net, it is the cheapest.
That still keeps value for them.
Yeah. I put my money in it.
I think I'm good with status quo, but I'll leave you guys to.
Yeah, I like the approach. I think it might be something that I would recommend us adding a gray flag to it, just so
Fine.
keep tabs on it so it comes back to the committee to see if things are changing. I might add on top of that, but I think the approach is correct.
Jason, you okay with that?
Sure.
Yeah, that sounds fine with me.
Thank you, everybody.
Anyone online have any issue?
No issues, Chair. Thank you.
Logging through here. Okay, so really just a fund that's been re-benchmarked, fellow price stock. The kind of whatever metric you pulled it to, it does a good job of keeping risk low but return solid. So this is now a global mid-cap value. I'm sorry, going from mid-cap value to global small mid-cap stock. So think of that as a blend category, although very much Fidelity Low Price Stock has always been a value manager. They like to look at companies' benchmarks. They look at their balance sheet and understand the value of those companies. So it's further to the left on the benchmark on the chart you're seeing because it is a value-oriented fund, but it's getting you all the returns of the benchmark as well now that it's been re-benchmarked. So when the market was down horribly in 2022, this fund only lost 3 or 4% when the benchmark lost 28%. And then in a year like last year, the benchmark was up about 20%. They were still up about 14%. So it all comes out in the wash, I think, pretty healthily in the 3 and 5 year charts. So this is more of an informational item to the committee to let them know you have a new category, whether you wanted it or not. But I think it's a fund that you want to hold on to. And when we do our employee meetings in February, we'll definitely make this a highlighted item.
Sounds good.
Everybody okay with keeping this fund?
Yes.
All right. So a theme of today is going to be if you are, other than Fidelity's fund, if you are a bottom-up stock picker, a value manager who looks at balance sheets, you underperformed last year and probably pretty badly. It's not an official category, but a subcategory of evaluating stocks in 2025 was companies that we know as profitless technology companies, often AI companies that are not making money or even sometimes losing billions, but because they have ideas or because they excite people in terms of their prospects, those were the big winners. Companies that are in less attractive industries that may be profitable, dividends, cash flows, consistent businesses, nobody cares. So if you're a fund that is managing in that area and have been successful in that area, suddenly I think it looks like you do not have, know how to manage money anymore. This is a perfect example. So small value is usually looking at things that are under Wall Street's radar. There's no research coverage or very little. There's very few mutual funds that are in there. So Victory's been good over the years of kind of diagnosing and finding good company stocks. The manager team's been there for 27 years. In the last decade, they've beat 67% of their peers. But in the last 1, 3, and 5 years, they're in the bottom 15% of managers. So they still earn a 3-star rating out of 5, silver for their process. But we can't ignore some pretty ugly numbers on this page. So when the market was down in 2022, they played some great defense. They've had profits the next 3 years, but the benchmark has done far a bit better. Now, down here in the style box at the bottom right of page 53, you can see they're a little bit bigger than the benchmark. So they do buy a little bit broader companies. That's one of the reasons that the left of the benchmark in terms of standard deviation, the bigger companies fluctuate less, but it has underperformed. Now, this is not a flag, so it can go on to flag today. It can also be replaced today. But certainly, I think we need to take some sort of action. When I change pages to page 54, it almost looks the same. You can't even tell there's a difference other than a significant underperformance. So we do have options here in green to consider. I'll defer to the committee, but it's usually been the committee's preference to red flag a fund first and give it time to recover before we just replace it out of hand. Manager team has not changed. That would certainly be, I think, a motivator to accelerate that change. But the yawning gap between the fund and the benchmark and some of its competitors may change people's opinions there. So I'm happy to cover these alternatives listed in green, but let's see what the committee feels about reviewing, replacing, or red flagging.
Standard policy of just the red flag at this, that there's no like red flags coming from the, stocks or the fund itself.
They're
Like
just
you're
out
saying
of
the same people, they're just not performing.
Yeah, they're just wearing fashion from a few years ago, so.
Is it mostly because of the picks that they have made on these low
Yeah,
value stocks? Or
it's just that they're not going to jump into companies that are losing money and everybody else is.
definitely on the top holdings, they are very different between different the funds. There's
Yeah.
a lot of variation.
So yeah, there's a lot of variety that they're picking from, whereas the S&P 500, everybody owns the same stocks. Here you're seeing a big variety and probably many names you've not heard of before.
Right.
Many names I haven't heard of. Okay, so we good with a red flag for this one?
Is there anyone on there that you're looking at that maybe you could kind of add to that
red the
flag
one
for
we
the
would,
next?
yeah, if you're looking at alternatives, I would go right for the PIMCO RAE. PIMCO is the distributor, they're not the manager, it's RAE. RAE has the best expense ratio. We use this for a couple of other plans. The risk reward has been fantastic. They still buy things that look like small value stocks to me, like Dillard's Stores and Acuity and Nexstar Media. So it's sleepy, underfollowed stocks, but they've done a much better job. So if I had to pick one, it would easily be PIMCO. I wouldn't bother with any of the others. Lowest fee and best performance. Best risk adjusted. Did I change anybody's mind? Not intending to.
I think his policy still says, red flag, not much going to change in the quarter. I mean, yes, that could, but we'll definitely know by then.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody. So the Small Company Victory Fund has a sister fund, also managed by the Sycamore team, that is called Established Value. This is Big Cap Value. This is the category that Fairly Low Price stock came from. Not a huge portion of the plan, about 1%, 124 employees in there. But same story here, where it's underperformed the benchmark by a fair bit. Manager team's been there 28 years, but in the last year, they're in the bottom 7%. The last 3 years, the bottom 11%. The last 5 years, the bottom third. They still kept their 10-year ranking in the top 20. Now, this one's higher rated. It's 4 stars in gold. So if I could only keep one victory fund, I would pick this one. But I think the easy answer for the moment is I would red flag this one too, following the same logic as the previous one.
And we have two victories, the last two. Those are the
Yeah.
only ones we have.
Yeah. It's only, and Victory only does value. They don't do anything else. Well, Victory Sycamore, I should say, only does value. Victory's bought 3 or 4 other fund companies, but Sycamore is only a value manager.
Because I do always go back to when we replace, how many other companies do we have tons of different holdings in
Yeah.
and other options
They would just
in?
be these two. There's not really any other funds of note.
We're going to drop one of the victories or both. We're going to replace them with something that we have are heavily, invested in some of these alternatives. We have a lot of already funds with.
Oh,
So.
definitely. Definitely have a lot of Fidelity or T. Rowe already.
But, we want things that perform. We don't want to just use
Indeed.
that as a determinant. But
Yeah, it's a tiebreaker, but it comes down to net performance.
right. Yeah, I think we might.
I think that makes sense. So just a quick follow-up question.
Please.
The last Victory Fund we looked at, you mentioned they were not tracking because their management sale didn't invest in high-risk companies that weren't making a profit. Is that a similar methodology here where they're kind of holding the line on profitability? It's currently underperforming for them, or is there a different underlying cause?
I think the gap between the two groups is not as stark when it comes to mid caps, but essentially the reason is the same, is that they're sticking to their knitting. They know it works over time, it's just not working now. So, some funds will just change their strategy. Sometimes that's a bad thing because you change your strategy right when the market changes on you, or you end up buying things at the top. But I think Victory's saying we're willing to lose your investment dollars by having you pull it out. We're not willing to lose it by putting it in bad stocks. So everyone has their opinion, right or wrong, about that. So.
Yeah, I think the red flag approach is consistent and appropriate.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Next one's going to be in large cap growth, where it is an overwhelming dominance of those mega cap tech stocks. And reminder, this fund is in orange because it's in both plans, and it's red flagged in both plans. So We'll still note here that T Row is 4 stars and gold. So that's a pretty darn good rating. The manager's been there 10 years. He's one of the managers I've had the opportunity to meet. I think he's a great manager. But his performance on the 1 and 3 year has been bottom 30%. His 5 years still top 30. His 10 years top 14. This is the old T. Rowe Price New America, which I say in every meeting. It was more of a pure large growth fund then. It's re-benchmarked itself to the Russell 3000. So the Russell 1000 is the biggest stocks. Russell 3000 is the large, mid, and small combined. There's only 3,500 public companies in the U.S. now. There used to be 8,000, by the way. So their benchmark that they see themselves versus they're very close on. But because the average stock has underperformed the biggest stocks, the benchmark and our other fund, which is a fairly large cap growth index fund, have performed far better. Now, the numbers in 2025 have started to even out, but the difference from 23 and 24 is pretty stark here. So red flag one meeting ago, when we have a red flag, we look at short-term performance. So you are seeing much less risk from our fund, but you aren't seeing any better performance. Now, there are alternatives to consider. As you guys have already kind of pointed out with a few other funds, you're going to look at the holdings and all these things, and they're all the same. I kind of like a fund that does something different, because if this movie does go in reverse, if large is no longer the place to be, and right now you can look at some stocks. You know, Microsoft's had a downturn for a year. Apple hasn't done much. Tesla hasn't done much in the last year. It's really been Google, NVIDIA, and Amazon that have made most of the gains. If that becomes a bigger thing, and you kind of notice the first 3 weeks of this year, small stocks rallied because every day Apple was down. Well, if Apple goes down 3%, that's enough to buy every small cap stock in the index because it's so much the Apple's by itself is bigger than the entire small cap benchmark. So if that were to occur, I would hate to have our participants all in the same stocks, all both in the same funds. Now, this trend could go on for another decade, long past any of us being on this committee. But I kind of like having, if we're going to have two choices, I'd like them to be different. T. Rowe Price is clearly different. As we mentioned already, the tiebreaker still has to be performance. But because it's on red flag, I would vote for buying in some time. But I certainly understand that people feel differently. I don't get a vote. I only get a recommendation.
And then the alternatives that you see to be would be the Fidelity Blue Chip and the Loomis.
So Fidelity Blue Chip and the Loomis have been the best two.
Loomis is a little more expensive than the existing, but not by much.
And Loomis does refund 25.
Okay. And then Fidelity Blue Chip is a little cheaper, at least showing on that.
They refund 35. So that would be your cheapest option.
Would be the Fidelity
Blue Chip. Other than the index fund.
And then the manager's been there for 17 years. Is that what that
means? Yeah. So you have long tenured managers. Putnam's the shortest, but it's still 80s.
Loomis is 15.
Yeah.
Do you have, looking at, you say their holdings are all pretty much the same. So it's
are exactly the same. I was meeting with T. Rowe Price a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying, well, we don't like Apple. And I said, well, Apple's 8% of your fund. They're like, that's an underweight. So that's a little Wall Street nerd talk, but what that means is the benchmark's at 11. So if you don't like Apple, you can't have 0. You have 8. So you're still a huge holder of Apple because they're so big. Risk upside downside. So the appeal of T. Rowe would be is that they're a little bit different. So they don't capture the upside, at least not in the last 5 years, but they do protect the downside.
Yeah.
What we use the most of besides T. Rowe and the index fund has been J.P. Morgan. But I don't know that you could pick J.P. Morgan looking at the numbers on the page currently.
Say that again, Mark.
So in other plans, we have J.P. Morgan large cap growth a lot. And it's pretty close to the benchmark, but it's not quite at the benchmark. So But knowing that management team and studying and using it for the last decade, I would feel the most comfortable with that. But the numbers tell you Fidelity Blue Chip growth is the one to do. But it's also furthest to the right. So it makes the most when things are good. It's going to lose the most when things are bad. And I just don't want to leave. I don't want our participants to get caught holding the bag if this does reverse itself.
Whereas Loomis kind of it's a little better on the downside.
A little better on the downside. JP Morgan, even better still. How do we feel about giving it another quarter?
Think that's fine. I don't think its underperformance, especially recently, has been so drastic that we need to yank it today. I think it's
And considering their holdings are very similar,
Yeah.
I think it's
I'm okay waiting.
anyone back there have any thoughts on this or online? Yeah, I think that's
Keep a red flag.
yeah.
All right. So we're up to four red flags.
How's it going?
Everyone's going to skip the April meeting. I can see it. All right. So here there are no flags in large blend. We mentioned this is the biggest category in stocks, which is tracking the S&P 500. So no issue with the Vanguard. It's on top of the benchmark because it is the benchmark. Your fifth largest holding is Hartford. So for a lower risk approach, they're pretty close to the capital markets line, which is a risk reward measurement. The reason we're bringing this to your attention is Parnassus, which is by far the smallest of the three. It's only 1% of the plan. It's 18% of the overall plan in the category. But we did feel like we needed to take some action here based on recent performance. It's not a disaster by any means, but it's living in a bit of a different world. Management has not changed at Parnassus, but it has been downgraded to 3 stars in bronze. And like you've heard from a lot of folks today, bottom 20% on the 1 year, bottom 30% on the 3 and 5. It's slightly below the average fund out of the last decade. So I do think we need to take action there. Style-wise, it's the same as the others. It just hasn't made as much money on the upside as some of these that we have. The gap on the 6 month is more strike, is more startling, I should say. So about an 8% gap here and about an 8% gap here. So I don't think we can leave the meeting without that at least being red flag. And again, no flag coming into the meeting. So that would start a 12-month clock where it needs to show signs of improvement.
This category, we have three funds in, which I think is a little unique compared to
Yep.
the index. We've got two actively managed. Can you maybe speak to that a little bit of our the advantages of having that are is one kind of more of an offensive play and one's a defensive play, or?
Yeah, that was the thinking. Parnassus for many years had actually kept up with the benchmark with about 90% of the risk of the benchmark. That just has not been the case for the last 3 years. The other argument for having three funds is 18% of the plan, but you really see 17% is in two of them. So a simple solution, Kevin, would be to potentially just merge that into one of the other two.
In my mind.
A less simple solution would be to add another fund. A snooze button solution would be a red flag.
It's not red flagged or gray flagged anyway, so it kind of sticks to the policy. But
And I would skip gray, go to red.
yeah, fine with that, because then we can have that discussion whether do we need three
Yeah.
or replace it, continue to have three.
I'm good with that approach.
Yeah.
20 is enough.
Okay.
Maybe we get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
We got feedback.
Yeah. No, that's good. Just to go back to the previous one, you said that it's also in 457 as well. So did that action cover 457, or do we want to, are we going to take it up again in 457 because of it being in a different area?
Whatever your preference.
Okay. Yeah, when we
The
come to it.
conclusions will be the same. The options will be the same. The numbers will be the same.
Yeah.
Now, the solution could be different because we could, if we do replace it, we could replace it two different funds.
Right.
But Where the 457 differs is there's another fund in that category that's been a red flag for a year that has to be replaced. So that might say that's going to be our focus today and keep T. Rowe on the record. I appreciate you bringing that up. All right, the last issue in the 401A is the large value. I had mentioned J.P. Morgan's manager retired in the fall of 24, but her fund had started unperformed before her retirement. Again, another bottoms-up sort of value-sensitive manager looks for dividends in companies. That's not cool. The Russell 1000 added Alphabet and Microsoft to their benchmark, so now they're everywhere. So because of that, they didn't perform as well versus the benchmark. Now, we do have Putnam, which has been fantastic. Fortunately, that's a much bigger holding, much bigger in terms of headcount and dollars. That one is the blue circle is lovely. 5 stars in bronze, top 10% on all its metrics. So no change there. But JP Morgan, which also could be merged, has more middle of the pack. It's still gold, though. They still like to process 3 stars, however, on performance. It's bottom 20% on the 3-year, it's middle of the pack on the 12-month. So it was gray flagged 2 quarters ago. We gray flagged it again in the last meeting, again, not recorded in the minutes. Probably argue gray flag again, but it may be at the red flag stage now. Let's give you recent performance. Sorry, those of you looking online, I was looking at my book. So if you look at recent performance here, this is 6 and 12 month. It has been a little riskier than the benchmark, riskier than Putnam, but not performing as well.
When it's down less.
Yeah, it does play defense pretty well historically, but it just hasn't kept up with the market. Again, stick to your knitting or follow the trend. That is the question. So Putnam is a value fund that owns number one, Alphabet, number three, Cisco, number four, Microsoft, number five, Amazon. Then the value stocks come in, number two, Citigroup, number five, six, Walmart, number seven, ExxonMobil. I don't mean this to be a cautionary tale, just an informational one, but one of the reasons the market did so poorly in 99 going into 2000 is all the value funds started buying tech stocks. And when the market went down, everyone owned the same stuff. So who was left to buy? And you couldn't hide out in one category versus the other because you own the same stocks that were all going down. Microsoft was one of those stocks back then. Microsoft, one of the biggest companies in the world, so it was a success story. But remember, it took 16 years to break even. So I am a little bit worried about just having funds that own all the same stocks, if I haven't made that clear already. So I think there's an appeal to JP Morgan with that. There's appeal to some of these alternatives too. I think JP Morgan has to be at least red flagged. And again, if we want to go a notch past that, we could review alternatives. Some good alternatives. How do we feel about two funds versus one fund in this category? Again, that would worry me because you're going to be all in tech, but two funds okay, three funds not okay? Is that what we're thinking?
Two funds are fine.
Yeah.
Move one and get rid of the other, right?
You could.
And alternatives you're liking Hartford?
Hartford's okay. The ones I was focused on was Invesco Comstock. And then my biggest 401k plan, I had added Philly Equity Income a few weeks ago. So I'm happy with that one. American Funds, American Mutual is a great fund. But that's also in the 457 plan. I love Dodge and Cox stock, but it doesn't screen out well right now. I don't think you can add it based on these numbers. We can keep the train going with Red Flag and JP Morgan. Or same alternatives will come up again in April.
We don't currently have a red flag anymore.
Went from low flags to many flags.
Yeah.
We red flagged the entire money purchase.
I'm thinking of the white flag, though.
Well put. If we get the 2 o'clock, we'll white flag.
I think it's safe to put red flag on
the game. Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's red flag now. It's underperformed the last 3 years.
Okay.
But I'm not seeing it. Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
Thank you, everybody. That concludes the review of the money purchase. Any questions or comments before I move on to the 457?
Spins that all the other funds are forming above their benchmark, so there's a positive.
That is true.
We don't ever highlight those ones.
Ever since we've changed in this format, you never get to hear about the good ones. All right, so a red flag last meeting was T. Rowe Price Health Sciences. This is 4-star rated rating. Their Medalist rating is under review by Morningstar, so currently has no rating. It's very much middle of the pack in terms of performance versus other health sciences. So this would be pharmaceuticals, health insurance, et cetera. So middle of the pack on the 1, 3, and 5. Anybody see how United Healthcare stock did today or Humana?
Okay.
Look out. Yeah. They blew up. Yeah.
Wow.
So Medicare is only going to increase the reimbursement rate by less than 0.1%. So that's damn it. That's crushing to health insurers. And United Healthcare, as everyone knows, has had a lot of problems in the last few years. But it's not just them today. But the Dow is down 400 points from United Healthcare by itself. All right. So T. Rowe is slightly underperforming the benchmark on the 3-year. But well above the benchmark on the 5-year. But again, we're on red flag. This is our first review. We have 3 more quarters after this as a potential option. The 6 and 12 month, slightly underperformed with slightly more risk. Not so bad, but we must make note of that. And then there are all alternatives to consider. So each one of these decisions is made independently, but I think this is probably just one to keep on the red flag list, but I'm happy to cover these alternatives that people desire. We are on a streak here. Not going to get out of this without at least one change. So. Okay, with giving them a little bit more time. My voters.
Any of the alternatives stand out to you?
I was thinking here. So BlackRock, we use a fair amount. Prudential, the PGM, that's old Prudential Jennison, we use that one a fair amount. So those would probably be the two I like. BlackRock is great at being defensive, but still giving you benchmark returns. PGM Jennison is not for the faint at heart. It's extremely aggressive. I've had that in a plan for, I want to say, maybe off the top of my head, 15 or 16 years. I would say it's been red flagged 3 or 4 times. It's always made it, though. But that worries me for a retirement plan because probably going to sell it when you should buy it and buy it when you should sell it. I'd rather have more consistency, which is what BlackRock would give you. Janus also, which we haven't used, screens out well. It's a little on the pricey side, though. Certainly from a sticker price and its prospectus expense ratio. But is there a fund in here I'm dying to have? Probably not.
Isn't healthcare kind of cyclical? So, you know, they survived this round of Washington changes.
Yeah, the Washington changes is an important point because, as you probably know, this is one of the more interesting fourth quarters in history where people were shopping insurance or looking at plans, or their coverage was dropped, or Medicare Advantage plan was dropped. And they're calling it like a healthcare cliff because of the cutbacks in Medicare overall. But there are a lot of people in the country. There's a story in the Wall Street Journal this morning that said, you know, people, they went to the doctor on December 24th, they canceled their insurance because then they just put their insurance premium money into an emergency account and are praying that they don't need health insurance in 2026. So a lot is changing. So like places like Tenet Healthcare and some of the HMOs have been stocks probably you want to avoid, but I would probably say we want to let that trend play out before we make a move. What say you?
You know, keep a good eye on a couple of these alternatives.
Yeah, there's some good choices. Okay, so fund number 10 is going to be international. So on a raw basis, the returns were good here. Again, I don't mean to be making excuses, more of an explanation. The benchmark in black is the Morgan Stanley All Country World Index outside of the U.S., ex-USA. So that's more of a blend benchmark. See it on the bottom right. It's more towards the middle, whereas our fund and the two secondary benchmarks, which are not our official benchmarks, are closer to the right with more growth. Again, value winning internationally, for sure. So MFS International growth still screens out well against the Morningstar benchmarks. It still looks good against other foreign large growth funds, but it's not look good currently against our benchmark. So if you look at the rating, it's 5 stars in silver, so almost the highest score you can get. 14-year tenure manager, 42nd percentile, so top half. On the 1 year, 37th, 5 year, they're in the top 85%, 10 year, they're in the top 10%. So do we consider rebenchmarking? If we're resistant to rebenchmarking, are we comfortable keeping this gray flagged, or do we want to red flag it? So this is 3 year and 5 year, this is 6 and 12. So if your benchmark was, say, the Europe, Africa, and Far East growth benchmark, you'd love this fund because it's much less risk and a better return. But if you're comparing it to the all-country world index ex-USA, it looks like it doesn't know what it's doing.
That's really, it has the best downside, and that's why it gets bumped up there in the five-year.
Yep, it lost less. Look how bad those benchmarks are on the five-year versus the funds.
Yeah, I would say we have one fund that is beating the benchmark over the last 5 years and arguably none over the last three.
That's right. That to me is a benchmark.
Right.
So would the committee be open to an April part of the presentation like we did last meeting to re-examine the benchmark?
Yeah, I think keeping it gray flagged and then doing that would be appropriate.
Okay.
At least.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
When tariffs and issues like that really kind of have a bit of a bearing on it, right? We'll get a good understanding with the next review, do you think, or?
I mean, I think in aggregate, the tariffs are sort of a neutral to this category. What's been a more important factor, and maybe the tariffs are a portion of this, is the weak dollar, which has pumped up the performance. So, I mean, they're all up more than 20% last year, so that's good. But yeah, more time always better for more information, considering these. So we have another category for international, but it's also another MFS fund. The managers are different for these two funds. But similar story, this was not red flagged or gray flagged, but similar story in terms of a slight underperformance. If you looked at it versus its benchmark, it's probably okay. 4 stars in gold. So again, very close to one of the better ratings you can have. Manager tenure 16 years. Their 1 and 3 year numbers are bottom 10% and bottom 20%. Their 10 years, top 10%. The fund with a great history, one that's just not participating as much recently. I don't think this is a Apple and Microsoft issue. It just happens to be they didn't do quite as well in terms of their picks recently. But I would say that it needs to come off its current status, at least into gray flag status. That would mean we cover it every quarter, or we can make it red flag status, which puts the clock on the fund that it has to improve. Not as important as the prior international foreign growth, but I do think we might want to look at benchmarks here too.
Meaning the benchmark is an outlier.
Which one fits us the best in terms of both what we want it to be and in terms of what it is? To kind of look at it from all angles. I think we really did a good job with that last quarter as a committee. Now we know what we've got is right with that mid-cap category. So if we did the same thing here, I think it's a healthy exercise, and certainly documenting that exercise is a healthy thing for our protections. But the problem this fund has is it doesn't know if it's a growth fund or a blend fund. It's kind of halfway in between. And again, as you've heard many times from me, growth struggle.
And it's not a terrible fund.
Not at all. No. 4 stars in gold, that's better than a lot of funds that we have. So
I'm happy with just the gray that I can discuss.
Okay.
You guys are
gray and review benchmark?
Yeah, review benchmark. Yeah. Yeah. Similar. They're both two kind of similar.
Yeah. They've got great track records, so I don't want to discount that.
And it's performing pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly no participants are upset with what they made here. All right, not as good of returns from U.S. small stocks last year. You heard my story about Victory. Kind of bottoms-up stock picking has not worked in the last few years. Franklin's much closer to benchmark. It's not underperforming really on the 5 year. It's great. It's just the 3 year one to show you. We didn't want to push this into items for consent without at least looking at it. 4 stars in silver, 14-year, 10-year manager. It's kind of middle of the pack on 1, 3, and 5, but it's top 20% on the 10-year. I don't see any action to take here, but I just wanted to bring it as an action item for the committee to review. The short-term performance may bring some concerns for folks, where it was up 8% last year when the benchmark, last 6 months, when the benchmark was up 16. But it had a little bit of house money to work with because it did better in 22 and better in 24. So I would not red or replace. You could gray flag or you could do nothing. Again, still rated highly. Or so. Light years ahead of Victory. Which option do I like best, Kevin? PIMCO.
I think we're going to jump that far ahead.
And this is, if we're making this decision in the future, you know, I had to do it today, I would keep Franklin and get rid of Victory and put PIMCO in, but I don't think I'm going to put PIMCO in both plans. So.
Dillard's again.
There's that Dillard's. Got to tell me where one of them are. So.
Not Sachs. But
yeah. No, not right. Sachs. It didn't go so well for them. They went the Lord and Taylor route. So gray or no or nothing?
Go against the green here a little bit and actually throw out maybe a red flag because I'm actually not liking the last year or so, at least on the chart.
Yeah.
But I think gray flag kind of try to keep separate for issues not related to performance specifically. So I don't want to throw a gray flag on there as a default. So watch
that. Like a compromise between keep and red?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my 2 cents. I'd love to hear the rest of the team has to say about
that. I would agree that in part because there are alternatives that are doing better.
Yeah.
Like, in fact,
all the alternatives are doing better on the 3 and the 5. So there's a place to go, I think. If we, so yeah, I'm fine red flagging it.
You want a red?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fund number 12 is a red flag, everybody.
You got all those back there?
I know I don't, so. Maybe we logged in from out of the country. So. All right, so we did put a red flag in the last meeting on Touchstone Midcap. Its 3 year is quite good, but it's based on a great 2023. Its 5 year is below benchmark, although with less risk, it's not far from the capital markets line. So they underperformed in 21 and 22. The interesting thing about that is that's going to roll off the 5 year performance, and you're going to get more of the oomph of the 23 gain. But 24 and 25 were underperformers. So you can make a case here on a 3 year chart, you got a good looking fund, but really they only beat the benchmark once in the last 5 years. Mid blend, for some reason, is a hard, hard category to find good funds in. Either got to be growth or value, it seems. So it's red flag, it's on the 12 month clock. The 6 and 12 month numbers are ghastly. So while this tempts you to let it go or keep it red flag, maybe this changes your mind. This is a 6 and 12 month chart. And then if you look at alternatives, nobody's doing all that much better on the 3 year, but they are doing far better on the 5 year. And then if you look at the 12 month, it's kind of a tale of two cities, one group doing great, one group not. What was that?
That's not encouraging.
No, not encouraging. I thought you had a pick for me.
I was thinking red.
So a minimum has to stay red, most to be replaced.
Well, Scott, that the 3 years going to start to crater as it loses 2023.
Yep. That starts now.
Gives the impression that this decision to change is going to be kind of inevitable. So
I agree with that. I
kind of get the impression that maybe we should consider alternatives.
Let's do so. So page 155, the 3 year fund that's the best is the one that's already in the 401A plan, which is the Krill and Scout Midcap. That's why it's in orange. Most cases, the committee has wanted to offer different options in each plan. So assuming that's still the thought process, you have a big variety here. You can go more defensive with the Hartford Schroders. You can more aggressive with the Janus Contrarian. Janus does not have a good-looking five-year. It has a great-looking three-year. Rating-wise, let's see. So Billy Midcap Stock, by the way, used to be a growth fund for many years, now considered a blend. You look at style here, Janus Contrarian is a bit more of a growth fund. These other three probably match the benchmark the closest. Hartford is the biggest in terms of market cap, so that means that it has the lowest volatility. Bigger stocks fluctuate less because they're more liquid and owned by more shareholders. Not a lot of money here. 40 basis points, 25 pokes. And then if we look at holdings, you're going to see a lot of differential here. Fidelity's 5 in neutral, Hartford 4 in bronze, Janus 3 in bronze, MFS 5 in bronze. Touchstone is still 4 in neutral, Curlin is 4 in bronze. And let's look at the fees. But like all the Fidelity funds refund 35 basis points in revenue sharing. So that starts to become pretty cost effective on a 67 basis point expense ratio. Hartford charges 80 but doesn't refund anything. Janus charges 76 and refunds 35. So still attractive but not as good as Fidelity. MFS charges 49 and doesn't refund anything. So do we go Scout, which refunds 40, or do we go Fidelity, or do we go Janus? I'm assuming we're replacing touch stuff. If we don't have to. Facilities manager is newer though.
We have a lot of fidelity stuff already on the books, right?
Got that right. Thanks for reminding me of that. Yes.
What was the other recommendation you said?
Janus to me is interesting.
9 years on the
manager. Yeah. But MFS is also a good fund. Often a good tiebreaker is upside downside. See how we feel about that. Well, Hartford plays defense great. They don't play offense very well at all. So Janus is going to lose more than the benchmark on the downside, but not quite make as much on the upside. I think we're better off sticking with these three. So that's going to be Hartford, that's going to be Fidelity, and that's going to be Scout. Down here, Scout's the best performer on the 1, 2, and 3 year, but Fidelity and Hartford are best on the 5 year.
Do we offer Scout on the 401?
Right. Yes. So we do have cases where there's more than one or fund in both plans. The T-Row All Cap Opportunities is an easy example. There's not a huge amount of money in here, so you could make a case for Scout. But do we like one of these other ones better?
I like the Fidelity based on costs. These performance, and then just looking forward, it looks like it's all things being equal, the 3 and the 5 should hold up. If you look at those, some of those years starting to come off, they weren't. But in the case of like 23, wasn't one of the, actually underperformed a little bit, so that's going to come off, sort of bolster its 3 year. So we're not just, you know, back immediately revisiting this.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think the negatives are we have a lot of Fidelity and it's a newer manager.
Hmm.
But I agree with your point. Giving you both sides. We like MFS.
Yes, haven't gone over there yet.
No revenue sharing, 49 on the costs, 9 on the 10-year. Looks pretty good on both charts. 4 stars and bronze, up 20% on the 3 and 5 year, middle of the pack on the 1 year.
Awesome.
49 is pretty good. We don't have to worry about refunds. I mean, on the letter to participants, you'll see you're selling one that charges 92 and buying one that charges 49. They'll like that. Just another thought.
Yeah, its top holdings are more on the energy side.
My only hesitation on that one was just the very short-term performance of the last 6 months matches touchdown. But
yeah.
That's, you know, maybe that was too myopic to look at it right now.
Yeah, I don't know that for a fact, but I would guess it's because energy did poorly in the second half.
There's a freeze going on. They're going to lose some more money.
Well, natural gas is up like 40% since a week ago. So that lost 40% in early January and gained 40% in late January. More than Janus, so I'm going to say it. I'm down to MFS and Fidelity, guys. I'll let you break the tie.
What was your other number two?
MFS and Fidelity.
But we have a ton of Fidelity. We don't have that much MFS work.
They're all the international funds. Remember those ones that we just covered?
I think outside of the short-term kind of equal performance, I like the MFS fund as well. pull the pack, but our next fundraiser after this is an MFS also.
Yep.
Where does Scout fall in all, considering those other ones?
Yeah, that's a good point, because Scout is the only fund they manage is in small and mid-cap stocks. So there are no other Scout funds in our plans. But that would win that award for sure. Good point.
And we already are using them. They're not hitting any.
Screens out, great.
Our other side, the 401 side.
Last 3 years have been phenomenal.
Yeah, it has been flagged before.
Is this the one that you said was, maybe I'm confusing my terms, we've gone through a lot of funds today, but has been on the red flag for other plans every so many years? Was that the
prior one? That was PGIM Healthcare.
It's a prior fund, sorry.
But it has been red flagged before, and it survived.
The only real downside to that one is it's, I think as you expressed, it's part of the 401A at this plan, and we don't typically do that, but we can.
This is 0.4% of the plan. Not a lot of money.
Fidelity has a Morningstar neutral as well.
Yeah. Probably has a lot to do with the manager change. All right. Well,
I would
see it from all angles here.
Brilliant. Just because we have it in another fund. Kind of it well balances it out. And there's not that many participants, but it gives us good. A good double look on it.
I tend to agree with that.
I like it. Fine. That's the definition of a discussion. I like it.
Yeah. We had input from the somebody who sat on this committee a long time.
Okay, well, we get to review another MFS fund, but guess what, folks? Only two more, and it's only 1:20, so come on. All right, MFS Midcap, no flags on this one. Five-year great, outperforming with less risk. It's similar in terms of style. It outperformed in 21, 22, 23, 24. It's only underperformed last year for all the reasons cited. It is slightly below the benchmark on the three-year. The 6 and 12 months are not great. There are alternatives to consider. Now, having said all that, and I'm happy to be overruled, I would not take any action whatsoever.
Fund manager, 17 years.
Yeah. Studies show the best managers over 5 and 10 year periods almost always have 3 or 4 years in those 10 years that they underperform. MFS, being a bottoms-up manager, again, their environment is not conducive to their strategy, but they only underperform by a little bit. In 2025, I would give the benefit of the doubt. But I certainly am fine being overruled if you want to gray flag it. Four stars in gold.
Number five holding is a utility, which you said earlier was not performing this year, but or was getting taking a little tank.
Utilities had a bad December, but December, a great 25. But a good,
yeah. So, like short term, you could say they're down, but
yeah.
Scott, what is going on with Invesco Value?
I looked at that fund last night, and I'm trying to figure it out. Like, are they in all kinds of crazy stuff? They've just done a really good job. I can't poke any holes in it.
I just see that as being the outperforming outlier here.
It feels to me like, you know, instinctively I look at this thing and say, when's it going to blow up? But you look at the holdings, you look at the strategy, you look at their risk, look at them on the down years, they've just been good, good, and good. So.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to almost have a different benchmark.
Hand. I think I'd rather give them our victory established value money than our MFS mid-cap value money, but I can't find any problems with it, and that worries me. So.
It could be cleared up in this.
Yeah. They might just be really good.
Gold star. Morningstar. Gold. On the MFF.
It's So what do we want to do about MFS, everybody? One more big decision to make.
Be willing to take your advice on that and just keep it as is, and you'll see it if it isn't.
All right, last but definitely not least is large cap growth for the 457 plan. We have red flags on both these funds. One's 5% of the plan, which is AB. One's 4% of the plan, which is T Row. AB, which is Lyons Bernstein, was red flagged a year ago in this meeting, so it's on its final review. T Row was red flagged in the prior meeting and was also voted in the 401A plan, because it's in both, to be stay on red flag. So I would suggest that, because we're definitely going to have to change AB, that we keep T Row on red flag and dedicate our time and energy to replacing AB.
140 employees.
A lot of money moving around.
Why'd you give this one to us last?
That's the order they came.
Beat us down, and now we've got to make a big decision.
I know. This when you're tired, it's overtime, but you're almost there. So, fourth and fifth largest holdings in that 457 plan, the 6 and 12 month is much better for T Row than it is for AB. The 6 month is much better for T Row than it is for AB. AB has to be replaced. Here are your choices. T Row is already in the plan. Fidelity is in the other plan, a large cap index. You can go with your Philly blue chip growth, which has previously been discussed, or JP Morgan, your Loomis Sayles, or Putnam. So if you were secretly loving one of those and you didn't say so last time, now is your chance. Be wise. The JP Morgan's pretty nice at 44 with no refund. Philly charges 61, but refunds 35. Loomis 67, refunds 25. AB is 61, returning 15. So we do have an opportunity to increase, or increase, but better our fee situation.
Because AB is 61.
Yeah.
Fidelity Blue would
keep it the same. Fidelity gives back 35 and AB only gives back 15. So
okay, gotcha.
You decrease it by 20, which is a pretty big jump. So ranking-wise, 4 and gold for T Row, 5 and silver for the index fund, Fidelity Blue Chip 4 and silver, JP Morgan 4 and gold, Lumos 4 and gold, Putnam 4 and neutral. So I'd probably eliminate based on that. But look at the benchmarks, the 5 year. Nobody's beaten him.
Suggests make our lives easier and pick the index.
Good. The negative for that is that you'd have the same two funds in both funds.
But it's a lot of money, so.
Have a favorite among the active managers.
And the Fidelity large cap is the cheapest.
Yeah, because that's an index fund. They just do exactly what the benchmark does.
Just if we went from AB to index, that means these offerings would be the entire category the same as yeah. The 401A, not just this one fund.
Yeah. So I would say in most committee meetings and most environments, that's exactly what we should do. But for the reasons I've mentioned about concentration of so much money in so many or so few index or so large cap technology stocks that compose 35% of the benchmark, I just hate piling our participants' money into those stocks at a period of time when they may have a struggle the next decade. But you know, we're here to work off the data we see, the empirical data, not my guesses. I kind of like JP Morgan, but you, I don't know if think you can put it in here based on these charts. Let's look at downside protection. You get a little bit from JP Morgan. We're going to go with Fidelity, the other one that tends to lose the most in down years. It's hard.
All of them, the T. Rowe Price is the most well positioned to play defense.
Yeah, by far.
We're not, if we're not going to be adding an index fund, we still could do that, but
Good.
it makes me, what do you,
And if you add the index fund and the index starts to fall apart, technically people would either leave the category or they could go to T. Rowe. But it does worry me that you've got two and two identical in both plans, and they're big holdings.
what do you think of the Loomis, Scott? I mean,
Okay.
upside downside, it's almost right on top of the
Yeah.
what the index does. I mean, does that mean it's, is it, will have the same concentration issues that you're in the service?
Let's look at their holdings. That's an excellent question.
10% NVIDIA.
I mean, that's a slightly underweight position. Tesla's a huge overweight position. Meta's about market weight. Alphabet's underweight. Netflix is a big overweight. Amazon, about right. Way underweight Microsoft. And Apple's not even on this page. So they're at least, to answer your question, they are showing an opinion. They're not just tracking the benchmark. So we call some funds closet index funds. They say they're charging you a fee, they're just tracking the index. They're making a call for right or for wrong. So four stars in gold, and they have a strong feeling about some of these stocks. I would say I like some.
Every single one of them has Apple except for that.
Like I said, Apple's such a big part of the benchmark. I mean, to not have it on the first page, that's saying something. But Apple's been pretty dead the last year and a half. So. I think that's the one you want, Jason, if you don't do the index.
Loomis is focused on.
Does line have any strong feelings about which to choose?
I'm good with Loomis. It's, I think that seems the best of them.
Yeah, that one was picking up on me as well.
We have a motion for Loomis. 67 refunding 25.
Where's that put that in that kind of the bulk of those on costs?
Let's see, we're at about 46 on our current fund. That's going to be a little bit under that. A slight savings.
I'm good with it, unless everyone wants their Apple phone and really likes their 17 Pro.
You still buy them.
On the phone, but not on the stock.
I think it's a good move to make, even looking just the upside downside. You're getting the same downside protection, but you're getting more upside potential by moving straight up that line. So
Okay.
we're at least making an improvement.
All right. I think we have a decision.
That one had been red flagged for over a year, right? Or almost a year.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to change.
Yeah. It has to go.
We
All
got a
right.
prayer.
Thank you, everybody, for your time and
Thanks
energy.
online.
That's 90 minutes. Anybody who plays a college basketball tonight has no idea what toughness is because we did it today. Any questions for me on the items for consent? No one has any energy left for that. Do we want to read off the big moment?
Yeah. Okay, so review for the 401A, the Fidelity Global Community Stock, we're going to red flag that. Fidelity Low Price Stock, we're keeping. American Funds New Perspective is going to gray flag. Victory Sycamore Small Company is red flag. Victory Sycamore Established Value, that one I have two notes on. Was that red flag?
Red flag.
Yes, okay. The T. Rowe Price All Cap Opportunities, we're keeping a red flag for at least one more quarter. Parnassus Core Equity, red flag. JP Morgan Equity Income, red flag. And then for the 457 items, we got T. Rowe Price Health Sciences, keeping as a red flag. MFS International Growth, gray flag. MFS International Equity, gray flag and review the benchmark. Franklin Small Cap Value is going to be red flagged. Touchstone Mid Cap is going to the
Carillon.
Carillon Scott Scout Mid Cap. The MFS Mid Cap is keeping. The AB Large Cap Growth is going to the Loomis Growth. And then the T. Rowe Price, I believe, was keeping a red flag.
Correct. Yeah, that too, Natasha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Make a motion. All right. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. I've got a motion and a second. Any directors online or anyone else want to speak to this? Okay. I think we're good. I'll call for the vote.
Okay. Roll call, Director Wigand.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
We had some people drop off. Sorry.
Director Tran and the other.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Jason Dadakis.
Yes.
Kevin O'Toole.
Yes.
The motion carries 5-0.
Okay, and I'm looking at my calendar. April 28th is the meeting in April, right? That will have the big meeting with all these red flags.
Nine red flags.
So
it's still less than today.
Drink your Gatorade. be around.
With that in mind, as a suggestion, that optional item we had for the bond fund, have the gentleman speak with us.
I think he was going to come either in February or March.
February. We want to consider removing that? Or my wires
crossed? So this one's April.
April, excuse
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
I'm off.
April.
Yeah.
April.
No, we couldn't do it all. We couldn't do it all.
Yeah. No, definitely not that meeting.
So in a month of recovery.
That's why February or March is good for that.
Okay, sorry. Too many dates. I put my wires crossed.
It's a lot.
Okay. All right. I will make these items get agendized for the consent calendar at our February 4th meeting. Are there any announcements or reports?
None.
Seeing none, I will call for adjournment. Thank you all for your patience. And input.